This morning I endeavored to preach some from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, where the wise man Solomon said to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy paths. And this afternoon, Nelda and I went over to visit with Sister Janice, and then the three of us went over to visit with Sister Teeny, and she had a big sign in her living room with this verse on it, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. And you know, it helps me to have a visual reminder in the home. It's good to have scriptural verses on plaques in your house to remind us. And matter of fact, she's got a whole plaque of verses on one of her walls in the kitchen, just one verse after another. And I sit there and enjoyed reviewing those verses. And it helps to keep our faith active, to see it visual. I had Hannah to draw me a painting the other day with this little statement on it. He died for me. And I look at that several times a day. And I tell you, it has an effect on me. He died for me. What does that mean? Well, that means I was such a sinner, I need somebody to die for me. And it also means he loved me so much that he was willing to die for me. Now, beloved, that's something we need to really take serious and let it get into our mindset and think about it. You know, Satan can set up strongholds in our minds, and it's hard to get those pulled down. But you and I can set up good scriptural strongholds in our mind that we live by and trust in on a daily basis. And after preaching today, somebody asked me, Brother Sam, how do I overcome my tendency to worry? How can I trust in the Lord with all thine heart? Well, the truth is that you may win the battle today over fear and worry, but tomorrow it's going to come back, and you're going to have to fight that battle again and again and again. But I think we can make a lot of progress in our battle against fear and against worry as we read our scriptures and take the Word of God and internalize it. You know, the Bible refers to the scriptures as food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's the Bible. And it's bread to us as we eat it, and it strengthens us. And another way we can fight our fears, our worries, is by praying. I tell you, when you're praying and you're mindful of your prayers, you're not just wording some prayer that you've memorized, but you've actually focused on the prayer. You're conscious as you're praying. It helps tremendously to battle against worry and fear. And when we are praying, we want to pray in Jesus' name. Most people that I hear pray will end their prayers, I mean public prayers, you'll hear them say, in Jesus' name. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Why not in Moses' name or Paul's name or Matthew's name? We pray in Jesus' name because that is a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, I believe God hears our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name, not in our name, not in our parents' names, but we pray in Jesus' name because he is at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is our high priest, our great high priest. He takes our feeble prayers and he tweets them and works on them and presents them to the Heavenly Father so that they are acceptable in His sight. So we pray in Jesus' name. And then we also hear some people say in our public prayers, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Now what does that mean? That doesn't mean that Jesus is in need of something and we're asking God to bless him. We're asking God to bless us for Jesus' sake. I was asking my brother Franklin the other day. I remembered hearing him saying over the years that when he was a teenager and he wanted to buy a pickup truck somebody had for sale in Dublin, he needed to borrow some money. And Daddy told him to go out to Allentown to the Four County Bank and tell the people in charge out there that he wants to borrow some money for this pickup truck. And you know what the banker told Franklin? He said, as long as you put your feet under Elsie Bryant's table, you can get anything you want here. See, it was for Daddy's sake. Do y'all see that? It wasn't Franklin. Franklin didn't have any, he didn't have any credit record, I don't guess. But Daddy had a good name. Daddy paid his bills. And the banker knew as long as Franklin lived in that house with Elsie Bryant that he was good for the loan. Well now, when you and I pray, we ask God to bless us for Jesus' sake. And I think a good illustration of that is over in the Old Testament. We have a relationship between King David and his best friend, Jonathan. Y'all remember that story? Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And at one time, David and Saul were good friends. Saul was troubled by an evil spirit, and David could play the harp, and it would just bless King Saul. It would bring him peace just to hear David play and sing. You know, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel, David was. And many of the hymn book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. They sung those psalms. And David was a blessing to King Saul, but Saul got jealous of David when the women of Israel started singing a song and saying, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. That made Saul jealous of David. And so Saul tried to kill David, sadly. That's one of the saddest stories in the Old Testament. But Saul had a son named Jonathan, and David and Jonathan were best friends. And Saul and Jonathan both died in battle. And when finally David was able to sit on the throne of Israel, he wanted to bless his good friend Jonathan, but Jonathan was dead. So David said to his servants, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And they said, yeah, there's one. His name is Mephibosheth. He was dropped when he was a little boy and he's crippled. And he lives in the land of Lodabar. Lodabar was a desolate desert kind of land. And this crippled little boy was living in Lodabar. And had been forgotten by many. But when David inquired, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? They said, yeah, there's one left. His name is Mephibosheth. That's an unusual name, isn't it? Mephibosheth. I don't know anybody named Mephibosheth. I know some Shadrachs and Meshachs in Africa. But I don't know anybody named Mephibosheth. But let me tell you, Mephibosheth was special to David because he was Jonathan's son. Jonathan was not around for David to bless, but Jonathan's son was alive. And so they brought him. David said, bring him to the king's palace and sit him at the king's table. And here is a young boy, crippled in his legs, poverty stricken, now living like the king's son. And you know why? It was for Jonathan's sake. And you know, I think Mephibosheth represents, he represents me and you. We were crippled by sin due to a fall, bankrupt and ruined. But for Jesus' sake, God has shown us kindness. How many in the house tonight have ever experienced kindness from God? I mean, he's a kind, loving God. And you know why he is? For Jesus' sake. And so when you pray, it's good to pray in Jesus' name and ask God to bless you for Jesus' sake. You and I don't deserve the blessings. I couldn't live on what I deserve. How many of y'all could live on what you deserve? I couldn't even come up with breakfast, much less dinner and supper. But let me tell you, for Jesus' sake, we are all richly blessed. So I want to encourage you all when you pray, and I'm sure everybody here tonight, and I hope these children pray. I want to encourage them to pray. They have just as much right to the throne of grace as anybody in the house does. And I'd like for them to know how to pray in Jesus' name. And how to ask God to bless us for Jesus' sake. Do y'all get that? It's very important that you go to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name. And as long as Jesus is your friend and Savior, you can be heard in heaven. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart and soul. And beloved, as you pray, and the more you pray, the more you're going to experience a peace that just passes understanding. And all of a sudden you'll be wondering, where did my worries go? Where did all my fears go? Prayer has a way of chasing them away. See, when you're praying to God, the devil is worried. Now he worries. When you're praying, the devil worries. The devil gets upset. He doesn't want you praying. He wants you worrying. He wants you fretting. He wants you to be filled with fear. But the Bible says at least 365 times, fear not. And I heard when I was a boy, I guess a teenager, a preacher pointed out, that's for every day in the year, 365. You say, now, Brother Sam, are you sure it says it 365 days? No, but you can do the homework. I bet you all got a King James Bible. You can do the homework. Now, we got apps on our phones that'll do it for you. I don't know how to use those apps. But let me tell you, you can get apps on your phone that'll help you in your Bible study. I do have a Strong's Concordance. You can look it up. Up here, there's one. You can take it home with you tonight. But, beloved, when the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, it ought to be easy for us to trust in him because he's never, never broken the first promise. There's no record anywhere of God ever breaking a promise. You remember the Apostle Paul wrote the church, the young brother Titus, and he wrote and said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And God is going to keep that promise. You can be sure. He's not going to lie about it. He's going to keep that promise. And you can bank on it. I mean, you can take that to the bank. God keeps his promises. But the Bible is rich with many promises that God has made to us. I want to turn to one right now over in Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at a statement in verse 19 the Apostle Paul made to the church at Philippi. He said, "But my God..." Well, let's back up. You know, the church at Philippi was apparently a very poor congregation in the first century, in the New Testament. It struggled financially. There's evidence of that in the scriptures. And yet, this church at Philippi loved the Apostle Paul. And they loved him so much, they had taken up a love offering to send to him while he was in prison in Rome. And they sent that gift to him by Epaphroditus. And now let's read here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16. "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Paul is saying, you all have sent love offerings to me once and again. This is a poor congregation. "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Paul is saying, you all will get a blessing as you give financially to the cause of Christ. "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Can you imagine what it meant to this aged apostle who had been beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and imprisoned? Don't you know what? It must have been a great deal to him for this love offering to be brought to him from this congregation by Epaphroditus. And Paul says, it's like an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. In a beautiful description of this love offering they sent to Paul. In other words, it was a sweet odor in the nostrils of God himself. When you and I give to people that are in need to support them and care for them, God is pleased with that. Do y'all believe that tonight? And if you don't watch out, you'll get a greater blessing than those that you're giving the gift to. That's why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And this church had received a great gift by giving to the needs of the Apostle Paul. And then notice in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I want y'all to let that verse really settle in your minds tonight. Here is Paul, a prisoner, receiving this love offering for a poor congregation, and he's writing this letter back to them, and he's saying, "My God shall supply all your need." Did y'all hear that? And I believe that applies to us tonight. How many of y'all will take that verse personally? God, my God, shall supply all your wants. No, no, it didn't say he would supply all your wants. But he will supply all your need. According to what? According to what you deserve? No, according to his riches in glory. And how many in this house tonight have needs that have not been met? You know what your needs are? They're very simple. Food and raiment, basically. And shelter. And God has provided all of that for us and way beyond that. I mean, really, the house I grew up in didn't have, but I don't remember, maybe one closet. You know, they used to have shelf robes you could buy and keep a few clothes in it, but you didn't need these big walk-in closets because nobody had that many clothes. Now, a lot of walk-in closets are bigger than rooms used to be, and still, people don't have enough room for all their clothes. I'm telling you, we are blessed, aren't we? Let's just acknowledge that. And Paul is writing to this church, and I believe it's a promise from God. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." In other words, God is going to supply what we need according to His riches. And let me tell you, His riches are inexhaustible. He's not running short on money. God is not running short on supplies. No, sir. And so the apostle is assuring this church that God would supply their needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, every blessing we get comes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fountain of every blessing. Do y'all believe that? Come by fount of every blessing, the hymn writer says. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God may be blessing us through people, but I want to tell you, God is the one who blesses people to bless us. Would y'all agree with that? God is the one who is, see, He is the fountain of every blessing. And His promise is that as your days, so shall your needs be. You know, you may say, Brother Sam, I know God is sovereign. I know He's all powerful. I know He's all wise. I understand all that. He's running the universe. He's maintaining it. He's getting the sun up in the morning on time, getting it down in the evening on time. He's taking care of the moon and the stars and all of that. But I'm such a little person. I'm nothing. Why would God take notice of me? Well, you know what Mephibosheth said when they sent for him, when the king sent for Mephibosheth? This crippled little boy living in Lodabar in poverty, and the king has sent for him. You remember what he said? He said, who am I but a dead dog that God, that the king would consider me? That's what Mephibosheth thought of himself. But let me tell you, because of Jonathan, he wasn't treated like a dead dog at the king's house. He was treated like royalty. And I want everybody tonight to know who you are in Jesus Christ. You're loved. You were loved before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in Christ. Before the morning stars ever sung together or the sons of God ever shouted for joy, God knew you, He loved you, He chose you in Jesus Christ. I tell you, that ought to make us rejoice, shouldn't it? Do you know who you are tonight? You are the sons and daughters of God Himself. And you may feel like you're a little nobody and God would never notice you. But you know what Jesus said when He was here on this earth for 33 years and went about preaching and teaching? You know what He said? He said, not even a sparrow falls from heaven but what God takes notice of it. And you're worth more than many sparrows. He said, the hairs on your head are numbered. Did your mama? Now, we all had good mamas, but I doubt there's a mama in the house tonight that went to all the trouble to count the hairs on their children's heads. I'm talking to y'all about a God in heaven who knows exactly how many hairs are in your head. You think that's nothing? Well, it is to God. That's how much He cares for you. I want y'all to get a hold of this tonight. You know, Google has a great ambition to gather all the known information in the world. And I am amazed at how much Google knows. The other day, just to test it, I asked Google, I said, how many fish are in the oceans? They said 3.5 trillion. And then they went on to say there's more in the fresh waters than there is in the oceans. And I thought, now, wow, how did Google know all that? Well, they did go on to say scientists suspect this. My God knows exactly how many fish in the oceans. He knows how many atoms are in your body. And there's billions of them. They tell me, I don't know. I've never counted them. God knows all about you. He cares for you as though you were the only person in the universe. That's how big and glorious God is. He knows everything. And He knows you. And don't you ever let the devil or anybody else tell you, you don't count with God. I'll tell you how much you count with Him. He gave His only Son to die. And if you'd have been the only one He was dying for, He'd have died for you. See, that doesn't give us the big head. That just makes us love Him more and feel safe in His love. How many of y'all feel safe in God's love? Little children, you know, they're amazing, aren't they? They can be scared of the dark. You know, in the daytime, noises don't bother you much, but at night, they can scare the daylights out of you. But if mom and daddy will just come in the room, it seems like your fears are chased away. Because you know mom and daddy love you and they're able to take care of you. Well, I want y'all to know you've got a heavenly Father tonight that's watching over you. And He cares for the tiniest little details of your life. And let me tell you, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. So why worry? You say, Brother Sam, we may have a big depression coming. It's possible. It's very possible. I mean, with the federal debt like it is, you know, $33 trillion, they tell me. I mean, my mind can't comprehend that kind of debt. But I know one thing. I've got a God in heaven that can supply all my need if a depression does come. See, I've been to Africa a lot. And I have seen people over there that had hardly anything. And they were just as happy as a lark. I'm serious. You say, that can't be. Well, I know it's true. I take my bicycle to a bicycle shop in Warner Robins. And the owner of that bicycle shop is about the happiest man I know. He's just running a bicycle shop. And he's just singing and happy and having a big time. And a lot of billionaires are so worried about their money they can't sleep at night. Are y'all, am I connecting? My God shall supply all your need. Amen. And so that's a promise, I believe, that we can count on and we can rely on. When it comes to needing to make decisions in your life, you know, in the Old Testament, God provided the priests with little stones that would help them to make decisions. And I thought in my life, I'd love to have one of those. Urim and Thurim, I think is what they called them. It would make a certain color, you know, and the priest would know this is God's will. We got something better than that. We got the Word of God. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. You know what? It ought to be easy for us to trust in God. Because He's got all power, and He loves us more than our parents ever loved us. You know, if Jesus was here tonight, and we were having a communion and feet washing, and Jesus wanted to get down and wash your feet, would you let Him? I would. Because I found out He loves me more than my mama loved me. He loved me more than my daddy loved me. And if He wanted to get down and wash my feet, I'd feel unworthy, but I'd be glad to let Him do it. Are y'all with me tonight? See, we got to understand how much God loves us. Not just sing about it. Internalize. Let it get in your bloodstream. And know that He loves you. And then He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He will direct thy paths. When you need to make a decision, the Bible says He'll direct your path. He'll give you a peace of mind about an upcoming surgery. Or, you know, you gotta buy an automobile or whatever. God is there to help us make those big decisions in life. When it comes to death, You know, I told you all recently about this woman I saw interviewed. She's the lieutenant governor of Virginia. She lost a daughter and two granddaughters in a car crash some years ago. And when the sheriff came and knocked on her door and told her what had happened, she crumbled in grief. But later she said, she was talking to God and she said, God, they're gone. And God whispered in her ear. Have you ever had God whisper in your ear? I've never heard his voice audibly, but let me tell you, he gets my attention. God said to her, gone where? And it came to her mind, they're gone to heaven. But they're lost. Lost, you know where they are. See, when death comes, God doesn't leave us in the dark. We know where the souls of these bodies out here are tonight, don't we? We know they're in glory. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we don't weep for them. Yes, we weep and mourn and miss them, but not as others which have no hope. The Word of God promises us Jesus is coming back the second time without sin unto salvation. And he's going to raise the dead in Christ. And their bodies will be changed and immortalized and taken to glory. Let me tell you, that's a promise that you and I can lean on. Maybe you've got an enemy tonight that's on your case. Well, the Bible gives us a promise. Listen to what God said through the writings of Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Did y'all hear that? If God be for us, who can be against us? I may have told you all this. I was preaching in South Georgia one time at Tired Creek Church, and the pastor's son was sitting on the front row, and I was on that text, and I was trying to get it over to the people, and I said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I quoted it again for emphasis. And a little boy sitting on the front row named Ovid said, the devil can. The devil can be against us. Well, Ovid was right to a point. The devil is against us, but not successfully. If God be for us, and I'm going to tell you in the context of that statement, for whom he did foreknow, God foreknew us, he predestinated us to be with him in heaven, he calls us from death and sin to life in Christ, he justified us through the blood of his son on the cross, and he's going to glorify our bodies in heaven. I'd say God is for us, wouldn't you? And if God be for us, who can be against us? And you know who wrote that? Paul himself, who died as a martyr in Rome. They cut his head off. But let me tell you, they could not destroy his life that God had given him. The minute that body died, that spirit went to glory. And that's a promise of God that our enemies cannot destroy us. So, beloved, the Bible is just full of rich promises that God has made to us. And I want us to lean on those promises.